live.
This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Today, talking with Casey Bolton, the CEO of Aviva Health. Casey, thanks for being on today.
Thanks, Kyle. Always good to be on.
So I'm curious, kind of overall, we'll talk about a lot of specifics with the new building here in a moment, but overall, how are things going for Aviva right now?
You know, we're in a good spot right now. COVID has sufficiently died back down to allow us to feel like we can catch our breath and get back to kind of normal operations.
And after 2 years, that's probably a welcome change.
You know, it is, and yet we just pivoted from that to the building move and the new building that I know we're going to talk about here in a bit. But yeah, it's good to not have that pall over your head and to kind of think, okay, what's next, and not have that uncertainty really kind of drive the process.
So you're getting ready for the grand opening of this new facility on the nonprofit campus out there by Costco. Tell us more about the building.
Yeah, so we started this project, the inception of it, about 4 years ago when we decided to do the residency and take on the teaching clinic aspect of that. We knew we needed a larger clinic space, and it just wasn't going to work out to try to repurpose even the main building we have here by Costco. And it just would have been too disruptive to other patient services. And we decided, let's add on to that structure and let's do it in a way that's more modernized, that would attract those young doctors to the program, which is a, you know, nationwide program. And then also provide larger exam rooms, more amenities for our patients. And it's just a beautiful facility, essentially doubled in size our capacity here in terms of the square footage, more than double in terms of the family medicine space. And we're super excited. Kind of the piece of resistance is that we really designed the space as a community resource. So there's large conference space that nonprofits can use at no charge. And then our campus parking lot has the ability for food trucks, or right now we have one of our mobile clinics connected to the hookups, but we're able to host an indoor-outdoor event of a decent size. So we're pretty excited about that.
So a lot of work to get there, and now you're getting ready to get things going. With the residency program, how is that really changing Aviva?
You know, it's there are some ways that are subtle, and you go, huh, son of a gun, that's different now, because you don't think through everything. It's not really possible. Some ways it's like right out there. I mean, we've got 24 doctors from various medical schools that have finished their medical school and are here to get their certification as family medicine docs. I mean, there's 24 of them. So just even in terms of, you know, the staffing that go with those doctors, you know, overnight we added, you know, 8 more doctors are here on the ground getting oriented right now, and they start in a couple of weeks. It's almost like overnight, okay, now we've got another 20% of staffing. Here you go. What do you do? And you know, that's probably the largest. Just seeing more faces walking around and you know, people who are highly trained, highly educated, kind of adding to our kind of the culture and our capacity here in the organization. It's super cool.
Now, talk a little bit about kind of what led to this residency idea and what you're hoping to achieve.
Right. So about 5, maybe 6 years ago, Dr. Chip Taylor approached Kelly Morgan at the hospital. Chip was the original program director here at Aviva, saying, hey, we need to fill gaps in, you know, family medicine for the community, primary care particularly. And I don't know if you remember at the time, you might recall, but there was essentially like 5 doctors overnight that did primary care that either retired or they move from kind of outpatient mode to being internists at the hospital. They just weren't going to see a patient panel anymore. So the net loss to the community was five full-time equivalents almost, you know, within 90 days. And I walked into Aviva, UCHC then at the same time going, holy smokes. And so the residency was kind of twofold. One, it was trying to build, you know, you got to build your own now. And in really any industry, you know, workforce development is critical. So we that was a piece of it. And then the other was, no kidding, stabilization of our provider base at Aviva. We were known for, and not in a good way, just provider turnover so much. And it's really stabilized now with the faculty kind of anchoring family medicine to a great degree. And then that stabilization kind of trickles across the whole organization. So it was kind of those two things, you know, stabilizing our existing workforce and then adding to it in terms of the capacity for the community.
My understanding is that not just here, but a lot of other rural areas in recent years, it's been harder to attract newer, younger doctors.
That's totally true. And it's a fascinating, and when you start really, you know, unpacking that whole challenge, it's interesting because our prevailing wage here for our providers in Roseburg is not that far off at all from Portland. And the reason why is kind of, it maybe it's counterintuitive, like, well, it's a lower cost of living. Why, you know, compared to Portland, if you will, for like rentals even, but, you know, just attracting someone who'll come and stay in a rural environment, you know, it's problematic. There's not the same amenities here in the area. I mean, we've got this Costco, we got a movie theater, it's all great. But at the end of the day, for some folks, they're more focused on that, what an urban or larger community can offer. So we expressly recruit for people who want to work in rural settings, in particular the Northwest. And we really do push that angle hard. And I'm happy to say several of the residents on this, they're about to be third years, are interested in staying in the area. You know, that we have a year until they matriculate through the system, but we're feeling pretty good that, you know, several of them will stay here in the Roseburg area.
And I talked to one, I don't recall her name, a few months back, who talked about some of the things she liked here, and that included, you know, hiking and all the outdoor activities that she could do here that were easier to access than they were if she were in a bigger area where it took longer to get to them.
Yeah, the community kind of recruits for itself in that sense. It's the staying power. And you know, when I first got here, I remember, you know, the Macy's had just left. And someone said, well, Macy's left, so, you know, spouses of these providers are not. I don't know if it's that. It's really trying to understand, you know, it's good schools. It's the whole package. It's not just, you know, shopping or whatever. You can go to an hour north and you're in Eugene. So that's not a huge deal. But yeah, it's the access, and then really us trying to, you know, kind of show these younger folks, you know, this is your community now. You can kind of step in and take over for us older folks that are need to pass on that baton.
So big project years to make it happen. What kind of like cost level are we looking at here to do all this?
You know, depending on your math, because there's different ways to look at kind of costing of a building project. And interestingly, I mean, I learn something every day about that type of stuff. You know, there's cost per square foot, but that's not the total cost. And so, because there's other things like SDCs and permits and a whole bunch of other things. So when you add it all up to furnish the building and outfit it and so on, it's somewhere in the neighborhood of $16 million project. Now, when you kind of dial that back, it's less than that for the actual building, because we're talking about the outfitting of the building with brand new equipment and office furniture and so on. And we were able to get grants to help with various aspects. I'm really proud to say, you know, a lot of the folks on my team and then some of our board and community members stepped up. And so we kind of pieced together a financing package that did not drain the donor base here locally. It really, in fact, we intentionally did not reach out to the usual folks because of COVID, and we were worried about other nonprofits and their ability to really sustain themselves. And so we did something called New Market Tax Credits. It's longer than your show has for me to even try to explain it. But it's a way for nonprofits to help fund big capital projects like we did. And we did that. We did a low interest loan secured by USDA and some other sort of various tricks to piece it together so that we could afford to launch this thing. And I'm happy to say it all came together.
More with Casey Bolton when we come back to interview a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. 1246 inside Douglas County at News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Lars Larson coming at 1. Peter Greenberg, Eye on Travel at 4. Casey Bolton with us, CEO of Aviva Health, talking about the grand opening of their new facility on the nonprofit campus there adjacent to Costco. We've been talking about a lot of aspects about this. Now, you mentioned all the exam rooms, the conference room space. Casey, what else is going to be out there eventually as part of this new facility?
Right. So, I would highlight the conference space. I think that's different than what the communities had before. It'll seat, if you have all three areas open, 191 people in the same space. And then it breaks down into three separate ones. It has a teaching kitchen, and we're really excited to amp up, healthy lifestyle cooking classes and so on. The other thing that we're looking at is we're really trying to understand, the Jerry Bruce Community Campus is a wonderful gift from Ronnie Bruce and on behalf of her husband here to commemorate him. And we've talked with other agencies here on campus, and we're actually leaning into starting an annual fundraiser as a campus next May. The name of it's Hope Springs Eternal, and it's essentially a cause-based fundraising approach versus agency-based. So this isn't about Aviva. This is about improving our community's capacity, kind of a one challenge at a time, or at least picking one out as a highlight. And for this first one coming up in May of 23, we're going to focus on at-risk kids that are 0 to 5 years old, which is a super important cohort to try to really take care of those kids. If we can do it then, it has lasting impact on their lives and maybe changes or eliminates a negative cycle for these kids. Their trauma-informed care is super important, particularly at that younger age. And, their exposure to adverse childhood experiences, really got to attend to that. So that's our focus area. Kind of highlighted by the Family Development Center here on Jerry Bruce. They do such amazing work. Marsha Laverne's a good buddy of mine, and she and her team just do a great job. But they do it kind of quietly. I mean, they're just every day kind of in the trenches doing their thing, and it motivates my team and I to do better, and we partner with them a lot of stuff. But we're excited to, get back into supporting community causes away from our building project and that sort of stuff. That's done. We need to move on and try to help improve our community.
Now, I understand in the midst of some of the healthcare changes we've had in the world of pharmacies in recent months that eventually you're going to have a pharmacy out there too in this new facility.
Yeah, we found kind of this gap in the building project, and we were able to pivot kind of at the almost 11th hour of when you can do that and have it be part of a building project. So we are going to add a retail pharmacy or an open access pharmacy inside our building. Predominantly, it's going to be used by our patients and staff, but it'll be open to the public as well. And There's nothing better than be able to kind of pick up your medications as needed in the, you know, just after your visit. Imagine waiting another 15 minutes or so, and now you've got your meds, and you don't have to wait in line at Rite Aid or whatever. And this community, when Biomart stopped doing pharmacy, it really clogged up the system. That's putting it nicely. For folks who need to pick up their meds. And so we're excited about that. We're going to add mail order to that piece. We're going to add remote pharmacy when we can. All those are kind of, as you get better at that core retail pharmacy, then you can do the more complex stuff. And we're shooting to have pharmaceutical capacity out at our remote clinics, out at Drain and Glide and Myrtle Creek and so on. At some point in the future, once we've nailed down the workflows here for the mothership pharmacy.
And will the pharmacy there on the site, will that be opening with the new building, or is that still a ways down the road?
You know, a little bit of ways down the road. We're thinking, you know, and these things are all conditions-based. You know, we're trying to meet in the middle between hiring the right team to run that activity and then the construction piece itself. It looks like the construction side will finish a couple months before we'll be able to get all the workflows and the regulatory things kind of attended to and the staff trained to go. But, you never know. We're still kind of looking to the future of that. My guess would be kind of late fall we're able to have both in place and open it up.
Now, I understand as well, in the midst of all of this, you're also going to be opening a new location for behavioral health. Tell us more about that.
Well, yeah, so we landed into a nice setup. It's across the street from the movie theater. It's a great location in terms of, access to kind of retail space. So we're moving out our behavioral health, not our primary care behavioral health, but our outpatient, which is kind of more of that therapy that you might think about for behavioral health. We're moving all of those services into that building there on Newcastle Street, and that will allow us to do a couple things. One, it'll allow us to grow that service even more in terms of number of providers. There's more exam rooms there or patient rooms. And then secondarily, we can start doing group visits. And in the same building, that whole building is behavioral health. So there's a piece of that that helps destigmatize the visit because you're going into behavioral health. It's not part of the main primary care building like it is right now and some other things. And then that even the groups piece, you don't have to walk past anyone that's not there for behavioral health to get to your classroom or your larger room of size where you can do groups. So we're excited about both of those because I think that's going to be a game changer. It's kind of a forever home approach to our behavioral health. So that's going to happen as soon as we can do a small remodel of that space. My guess is by the 1st of November, we'll be fully operational there.
And as well, that frees up some space at your existing facility.
It totally does. It's like it's the law. It's kind of like the shell game a little bit, or Tetris. So the Tetris cube that would be going back into that space where it is now is adjacent to dental. We'll be able to pull in our dental lab, which is over by Bailey's vet right now, in a adequate but not optimal space. We're going to move them right next to our main dental activity here, and that's going to be fantastic for the patients because you can kind of park in one spot, be seen, and then do a follow-up for your dentures or whatever, all in the same location.
So as you've gone through the last couple of years, I'm curious how you're doing in terms of finding enough workers.
You know, it's a challenge. I'm not gonna sugarcoat that. But I'll tell you, as I talk around to other, my peers in the business world, you know, healthcare is not any more challenged, in fact, maybe in a way less challenged than some of the other industries. You know, I was talking to someone, I was at a meeting, kind of a business meeting, and they work in the timber industry, and they were saying, you know, we're right on that cusp of maybe considering, you know, how we're going to do drug testing and so on and so forth. And I'm like, wow, You know, like, is that something you will? Now, we can't here at Aviva, because we get federal dollars or certain things. Like, we don't do a witch hunt on it, but we will test initially to see if you're a marijuana user or whatever, and then not employ you if you are, because of it being getting federal grant dollars. But, you know, imagine if you're like, okay, what are we going to take off the table that we normally would for skills or background or whatever in order to staff what we need to do? That's really a problem. So it's challenging for us, but, you know, it's one of those things where you have your challenges and you throw it in the center, you're probably going to pick back up your own challenge because it may be worse somewhere else. So we have turnover at our medical assistant level, which is kind of that entry clinician point. We train them real well, and then some of them move on. And so we have some turnover there, which is, I know, frustrating for our providers, and we're kind of working on that, on some different options to try to kind of staunch that a little bit.
So just,
but yeah, it's been a little bit of a problem.
Just before we wrap up here, give folks the specifics about the grand opening later this week.
Thank you for that reminder. So Wednesday night at 6 p.m., we're having an opening celebration. It's not really a ribbon cutting thing. We've been in the building for a little bit. But, you know, if the public wants to swing by and take a look at the building, we'll have some of the staff and a lot of the residents will be here. Some kind of opening remarks type of stuff from a few of us, Kelly Morgan from the hospital, myself. I believe Commissioner Freeman will be here. But we'd love for folks to swing by and take a look at it. We're very proud to show off the building.
All right, Casey Bolton, CEO of Aviva Health. Again, that's happening on Wednesday night. Casey, thanks for being on.
Thanks so much, Kyle.
1258 News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.